I was reading this earlier this week. In you, Lord, my God, I put my trust. Show me your ways, Lord. Teach me your paths. Guide me in your truth and teach me. For you are God, my Saviour, and my hope is in you all day long. And I'm just aware, as I was reading that, that whatever the future holds, whatever is coming, I want to put my trust in God. I want him to show me his ways. I want him to be my hope all day long. You are God, my Saviour. And I think it's, you know, it's a really basic thing. It was Gareth who was speaking this morning said, it's all about Jesus. It's all about Jesus, you know, and Jesus came into the world to take away sin, that we might know God. And as we trust Jesus, we discover this new life in him, and we discover a God who loves us. And there's some really encouraging and exciting things going on in the life of our church at the moment and have been over this last year. I'm not going to share them all, but we have a great staff team, numbers of whom are here today, working really hard, and I'm grateful for their friendship, support, and hard work. Andy, who's not here tonight, is running our Alpha course. It's great to see some folk here who are part of the Alpha course, which we've got happening in the morning and in the evening, and I'll be saying maybe a bit more about that in a minute, but on a Monday morning and a Thursday evening. But he's brought to the church, he's been our operations director, and he's helped just us to get some things done that needed doing, some unseen things like that. Well, you can see the car park, but very few of you will know we now have a roof alarm. It's very exciting. It's because 55 Oxfordshire churches had their lead stolen in the last few months, and so ours, if they get on the roof, a major loud alarm goes off, which wakes me and Sue up next door, and then I just have to come and chase them away. I think that's how it works. But Andy's training for ordination, as you know, he's running Alpha, and he's also given a lot of energy to the 9:15 service. So we have an 8 o'clock service, a 9:15 service, a 10:30 and a 6:30 service. And in the last year, we've seen the 9:15 service grow steadily. From a year ago, it's probably 30 to 40 regularly. We planted it just over a year ago. Now it's usually 40 to 50 and sometimes 60 at 9:15. And then also in the evening service, Rich, I'm grateful for Rich and the way he's helped develop our evening service and continues to help to do that. And many of you who are involved in running this service. And we really do want this to be a training service, a service where you can get involved in and we can have new speakers and service leaders. And again, a year ago, we were probably hovering at the 20 mark. And now we always have at least 30 and sometimes 40. And last week, I think it was 48. And it just feels like this service is again growing, which is great, is encouraging. It's a sign of life. Similarly, at 10:30 in the morning, we have loads of families coming. Rich was just sharing beforehand as well, some families coming they're just coming through Coglets, which we run, and they're not church-going families, but they're coming along because they want to discover something of community and of what we're offering here. I was asking one of the dads, and he's Iranian background. I said, "So what do you do?" I said, "Do you work?" He said, and he's quite quiet, so I had to sort of lean in. He goes, "I'm a professional boxer." I went, "Oh." I said, "Do you still fight?" He goes, "Yeah, I'm fighting March the 18th. Oh, I said, "Where?" "The O2, London." I went, "Oh, will you be my friend?" And he's just come along with his wife through Coglets, and they're just exploring what it is we believe and why we believe it. So the 10:30 is really healthy, and even our 8 o'clock, which I know most of you don't know actually exists on a Sunday morning, but it does, and we're here praying for you. You can always join us, but even our 8 o'clock is, despite the fact that last year we've seen some of the members pass away and some can't come through mobility issues, it's growing. New people are joining that service as well. And all of that's really encouraging. We're seeing these indicators of growth. And as a church, Our vision is to cultivate a church where people flourish through connecting with God, each other, and their world. And this word flourish, anybody who's been here any length of time knows, is a really key word for us. And I did just pull the definition up again on my phone. Because it's a word that we felt God gave us a while back. And to flourish means, the definition of flourish, it's of a living organism to grow or develop in a healthy or vigorous way, especially as the result of a particularly congenial environment. So that's partly what we're trying to create. And synonyms include grow, thrive, prosper, do well, develop, burgeon, increase, multiply, proliferate. And we want people to flourish. And we believe that that will come as we are healthy as a church and as people. Because healthy things grow. As I said earlier, Jesus said, I've come to give you life and life to the full. And I think a flourishing life is a full life. And we do think there are things like rhythms, having a good rhythm of life, using our gifts. These are all indicators of flourishing. Belonging to a community of faith and hope are all indicators of flourishing. As I say, we've seen growth in our services. We've also seen growth in our older members ministry. There's a COG seniors group. There's a holiday plan that I know most of you won't be aware of, but because you'll be working. But there's a group going up to Holy Island in a few weeks' time in May. And we've also seen incredible growth at the other end of our church. So we have these two groups, Coglets, one which meets on a Tuesday afternoon in our church centre, one which meets on a Thursday afternoon up on Madley. The Madley one, now Rich, correct me if I've got this wrong, but the Madley one had 127 guests. That didn't include team at it. Two Thursdays ago or something? 127 guests. And that did include babies and parents, presumably, yeah. And similarly, the one here on a Tuesday afternoon, we see about 100 plus come up to 100, certainly sort of it's about that. And it's incredible. And the as I just said, those two families who are exploring are both Coglets families. So, and as I mentioned, Alpha, we're running our biggest Alpha course that we've run in 4 years. And we're just seeing that people are coming and they're interested and they're seeking and they want to find out more. And I am going to share this. I God is at work in our world. My eldest son, Tom, he's on a sabbatical from church at the moment. It's been quite a long sabbatical, but we're praying for him every day. But he sent me this at the start of the service. Question from Hugo. Hugo's one of his friends. When Jesus died for our sins, did he clear the backlog, i.e. resolve all the people's sins before his death? I'm thinking, that's an interesting question for a Sunday night. So, wow, and here was I thinking you were just mucking about in a play, which is what he's doing tonight. There was a different covenant. I said introduce him to Gareth, because Thomas is up in Manchester and Salford. I hope tonight goes well for the play. Mostly he was mucking about in a play. But can you elaborate a little? I don't know how often Hugh goes in Salford. Thanks, speak soon. To which I said, not right now, I'm in a service. Very quickly, the Jews operated an atonement system at the temple with sacrifices for the forgiveness of sins. Jesus came to be a sacrifice for sin and create a new relationship with God the Father. The song we're currently singing. I sent him a picture of Rich singing the song, Man of Sorrows, Lamb of God, by his own betrayed. The sin of man and wrath of God has been on Jesus laid. And to which he replied, should be sufficient for Hugo. Thanks for the help. But to me, that was just a pointer of, yeah, God is at work in our world. He loves us before we loved him. He pursues us before we pursued him. So we've got lots of good news, lots of good things going on in a church. The danger is we could become a bit complacent. We could think, well, it's all going really nicely and yeah, the services are all growing and people are coming. But if we can have the next slide. These are a load of statistics that I just have been reading over the last few weeks. Apparently, 6,000 teenagers can't be held in the education system in Oxfordshire because of a diagnosed mental health issue. Britain is facing a crisis of fatherlessness, in which almost half of all children born today will not be living with both parents by the time they're 15. 48% of children in low-income families are not living with both parents. Supporting parenting should be a top priority for those trying to tackle poverty. On average, 3 children in every Oxfordshire classroom suffer from a diagnosable mental health disorder. Over half of all people aged 75 and over live alone. The number of people in Oxfordshire over the age of 85 is expected to double in the next 20 years. And 16 to 17% of working people in our region are home workers. This is increasing and is one of the highest ranked areas in Britain for numbers of home workers. And that is a bit of a different statistic, but I'll share why I've shared that in a minute. The reality is that as a local professional who works with children and young people said to me recently, Whitney is bleeding. Whitney is bleeding. They said they were seeing significant increases in family breakdown, in anxiety and mental health issues. Isaiah 58 says this, "Is not this the kind of fasting I have chosen? To loose the chains of injustice and untie the cords of the yoke, to set the oppressed free and break every yoke. Is it not to share your food with the hungry and to provide the poor wanderer with shelter? When you see the naked, to clothe them and not to turn away from your own flesh and blood." You know, we are called to be a people who bring light and hope into our world. That's who we're meant to be. That's what church should be about. So what's our response? And what's our response going to be going forward? Well, we've identified 5 groups of people within our own community who we see as the most in need of trying to work out how we can support them. Parents of young children, the lonely and isolated, vulnerable families, youth and children, and home workers. Interestingly and increasingly, the number of people who work on their own, remotely, and actually are then falling into the lonely and isolated category because they don't have contact with others. And it's a really big thing in our community. So these are 5 areas. I mean, they're huge areas. You know, we accept these are huge areas and huge demographics. But we're going to continue to think about our ministry responses to these areas, which are big areas. Very practically, we're going to do some development of the church centre and things so that we can do more from there. But the reality is that actually, because we have a preschool meeting in our church centre on a Monday to Thursday, apart from Tuesday afternoon, that we're limited to what community ministry we can do from that place. And actually, on a Sunday morning at 10:30. We're already completely outgrown the church centre. So our oldest children's group goes up to the youth hub. Our youth group goes to Blake School. And while it's great to be able to use those things, those places and have them, actually moving the children and the young people there takes time, means there's less contact time. And Ben, who just got up and spoke, pointed out in an email to the staff recently, I think the act of travelling 10 minutes to a completely different site building adds to the feeling of separation and disengagement of the young people from the church. And we don't want that. We don't want young people to feel disengaged from church. So what do we do? Well, Whitney, in the next 10 years, is going to grow by 25%. Apparently, it's going to go from about 28,000 to 38,000, 40,000 in the next 10 to 15 years. One of the key messages. We're thinking in that growth. Could we be involved in creating? And I shared this last year at our APCM. The first thoughts. That what would it look like to build a church for the 21st century? It's a wonderful space, but it's a small space. What would it look like? What would it look like as the development is going along around us? Might there be an opportunity for us to be engaged with or create something that wouldn't be just a Sunday church, Sunday building, but would be a 7-day-a-week facility that we could bless the community and work with those groups. I visited over the last year, a number of us have visited new build churches, and we've had key messages from those churches as we've gone along, and they're really clear that any new building, any new, whatever you go for, whatever space, whether you hire it, whether you buy it, or build it, whatever, the building has to be the vehicle for the vision, not the vision itself. It is the vehicle for the vision. It is the vehicle for mission and ministry. And we're going to do those things. We're going to reach out to these groups, regardless of what building we have or don't have. But we are at the same time, we are thinking, well, what could we, what might there be in terms of possibility going forward? But our vision's to see Whitney flourish, to see the broken restored, to see captives set free. And as I say, we'll do that regardless of what building we do or don't have, but we will continue to look for opportunities. But one of the keys to whatever happens into the future is harnessing the power of everyone who's part of our church. And as a team, we're really thinking through discipleship. We're really thinking through, what does it actually mean to flourish as a disciple? What does that look like? So are we flourishing as individuals? And we've come up with some questions we can ask each other to think about that, to encourage discipleship in ourselves, but also to encourage it in each other. And as part of my sabbatical, some of you are aware I'm having a sabbatical in June, July, and August. And as part of that, I'm going to be spending time looking at leadership development and how churches raise up more lay leaders. In September, Sue and I are going to be starting a CPAS course. We're going to be developing that for growing leaders. It's a growing leaders course, and we'll be doing it with a group of people from COGS who want to be part of that and are wanting to develop as leaders in our community. Now, in the next year, we are going to see some staff changes at COGS. And many of you are aware that Heidi's over there. Wave, Heidi, so people know who you are. That Heidi got married to Nick, who's sitting next to her, last August. Nick is training to be a vicar, and he starts a curacy down in Romsey Abbey. Very posh, Romsey Abbey. In June. And selfishly, he's taking Heidi with him. So we're losing our youth worker. Selfish. Was that you letting her stay? No. So from the end of May, we no longer have a youth worker, but we do, because we've appointed a successor. And from the 1st of June, Ben is going to be our youth worker, so who's currently doing our intern year. And I think probably quite a few of you knew that. We're going full-time. Heidi's part-time, but we're going up to full-time. Effectively, the PCC have taken a bit of a faith step there, and we've added a bit to the budget. But I believe that while we've invested heavily in children and young people over the last few years, we need to continue to do so. A couple of days ago, the Evangelical Alliance put this on their Facebook page. Did you know 86% of people who come to faith in the UK are under 25? 86% are under 25. And Ben gets married in the summer to Claire. Well done, Ben. She is the course leader of something called Greenhouse, which is a 10-month Christian gap year project geared up especially for those who want to explore a future in youth work. And it's part of something called Rain Ministries, which is based in Bicester. We're building on our intern year, so Beth and Ben have been interns this last year. We're going to partner with Rain and have some more interns next year and look at how a partnership with them could further develop. I'm nearly finished. Well, no, I'm not. Maybe. But a few years ago when I arrived, one of the first issues that was presented with me is we didn't own the house at the end of the end of which you walk past, which is connected to the church centre. It was owned by a trust. And so for me and for many others, it's clear we needed to buy it from that trust, the Blake Education Trust, which we did at the end of 2015. The money from that purchase is used by the trust for the benefit of Blake School. And one of the suggestions we made was that they might put some money aside to give to the Blake to employ a community schools link worker. And so the Blake Education Trust thought that would be a good idea and agreed to pay 15 hours a week week. The PCC here, our church council, felt actually they'd like to make that up to 20 hours a week. So the PCC put some more money in from our mission budget because we see this as a really important role in supporting the school and supporting the community. And on Thursday, I was involved in the interviewing at Blake School with the head and the deputy there. I was involved in interviewing three very strong candidates, and I'm delighted to announce that Judith Ledden, sitting over there, is the new community link worker for Blake School. By all means, give her a round of applause for her new job. We want to continue to serve our wider community, to bless our community. This morning we had, as I say, Gareth Robinson speaking, who's planted a church in Salford. And he spoke from 1 Peter 2, verse 4 to 11. So he spoke from 1 Peter 2, verse 4 to 11. And said, which finishes, "With you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into this wonderful light." And we have this opportunity to speak of God and to declare his praises and talk about the light and the hope that we have. He also, Gareth, before when he was praying beforehand, felt that he was given the word that we should unblock the wells. Unblock the wells. He gave that to the church. He said, "You should unblock the wells." Now, interestingly, that has been given. He didn't know, but that has been given a number of times over the last year. Unblock the wells, and it comes from Genesis. It comes from Genesis 26, where Isaac moved away and camped in the valley of Gerar, where he settled. He reopened the wells that had been dug in the time of his father Abraham, which the Philistines had stopped up after Abraham died, and he gave them the same names his father had given them. Isaac's servants dug in the valley and discovered a well of fresh water there. But the herdsmen of Gerar quarreled with those of Isaac and said, "The water is ours." So he named the well Ezek because they disputed with him. Then they dug another well, but they quarreled over that one also, so he named it Sitnah. He moved on from there and dug another well, and no one quarreled over it. He named it Rehoboth, saying, "Now the Lord has given us room, and we will flourish in the land." Now the Lord has given us room, and we will flourish in the land.
Do you know about the prophecy from the filling station about Whitney and the wells?
Yes. So it's been a theme that's been coming through regularly, this idea of wells being unstopped. And Whitney has an incredible spiritual heritage, and there is a sense of almost regaining some of that heritage. But at this time last year, when I spoke at the APCM, at the end I shared that Barbara and Gerald March, the morning of the APCM, had been praying and had got that verse as well, Genesis 26, verse 22. And then after I shared all of this, Martin and Maureen Down shared that when he was a vicar in Norfolk, they come to our morning service, they built a new church, and on the wall, that verse from Genesis is written, "The Lord has given us room, and we will flourish in the land." And I believe God is wanting to do something extraordinary in and among us. But it is about us doing those things. He wants to do things in our lives and make a difference through us, bringing light into darkness. The final verse, Exodus 33. You just pull this one up. Exodus 33. Moses said to the people, "Lord, you've been telling me, lead these people, not let me know whom you will send with me. You said, 'I know you by name, you found favor with me. If you're pleased with me, teach me your ways so I may know you and continue to find favor with you. Remember that this nation is your people.' The Lord replied, 'My presence will go with you and I will give you rest.' Then Moses said to him, 'If your presence does not go with us, do not send us up from here.'" And we need to be led by the Spirit of God into the things that God has for us, that he's wanting us to do as individuals, as a community, and to be open to where he's going to take us going forward. Would you stand? Lord, we trust you and we love you, and we thank you that you first loved us. And we pray that you would continue to lead and guide us. We pray that your presence would go ahead of us. We pray that we would know your closeness to us. We pray that we would hear your voice clearly and respond to you appropriately.